Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today,
sports radio on the dial.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Welcome to our Urban Daily listeners. Welcome to all our listeners. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay, Eric Taylor. Hyped up, and are you ready for some football? Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Ray, we got to get some emails this episode because they're building up and people want to talk fantasy football. So like always, we've got Facebook, Twitter, tweet at us. People love tweeting at us and we get back to you. So it's actually fun being interactive with our audience. And check out our website, rayandtaytoday.com. The Urban Daily's in the house. And the question is, Ray, how in the heck do you win your fantasy football league? You got tips. You won the first annual Ray and Tay Today League last year. Let me ask you the question. You got the number one pick, hypothetically. Who are you taking, Ray? Who do you pick number one?
Well, I'm going with Adrian Peterson because there's a shortage of backs out there, and he is the man running the ball. And now that North Turner is running that offense, he's going to be a bigger threat out of the backfield. I know some people like Jamal Charles. I know some people like LeSean McCoy, but I'm kind of old school. I got to go with Adrian Peterson. Who's your guy?
So if you're not that matters. So the coaching, basically, that matters to you. The coaching, the system.
The
so you're telling our audience
matters a lot.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you're telling our audience they have to pay attention to new head coaches, offensive coordinators, systems, how many touches a player will get. And I totally agree with you. I think just for the purposes of some of our listeners who want to do fantasy and don't know, we do have to sort of teach them, and that's a great point. And I agree with you. I like Adrian Peterson also because I love to watch him play, right? But if you're in a PPR league, for those that don't know, like every time you catch a pass, a reception, running back or receiver or tight end, you get 1 point. So that's where a Jamal Charles or LeSean McCoy come into play. People even like Foster to bounce back for the Texans. I'm picking number one. I agree with you. I take Adrian Peterson. I guess the question I would ask, if you're looking in the first round, and even if you are picking anywhere between 8 and 12, most standard leagues are, 10 to 12 teams. Most people do 12 teams in a fantasy football league. Would you take a receiver or a quarterback in the first round, no matter where you're picking? If you're picking 10th, 11th, 12th, in terms of your strategy, would you take a receiver or a quarterback, a Megatron, a Breeze, a Manning? What would you do?
I might late in the first round. See, I full circle on this. I think you have to have a star, a top five player, at least on draft night, in two positions. So if you figure that there's going to be a run on running backs, the top five or six picks are going to be pretty much running backs with maybe a Megatron or maybe a Peyton Manning mixed in there. If you're at the end of your first round and you're in a 10-team or a 12-team league, so you don't want – I'd rather have the first, second, or third best receiver or quarterback than the ninth or tenth best running back. And you're going to get – you can get your running back on the wraparound anyway. So I would definitely try to get me a top three position player. You know, some people might even go with a Jimmy Graham if you're picking 10, 11, or 12, something like that. So I'm all about dominant by position. So, yes, I would definitely think about late in the first round going with a quarterback or a wide receiver.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, there are a lot of free agent moves and trades in the offseason, and, we can address some of that in a minute and how it affects fantasy. But – okay, so if you don't get what I call a gunslinger, which is Manning, Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers, those are the top four quarterbacks, basically. When you're looking at fantasy, though, and you look at that next tier, because of rushing yards, who this season would you say is sort of 5 through 10? Do you look at an RG3 and a Kaepernick and an Andrew Luck, an Andy Dalton potentially, and a Matt Stafford? Do you see those guys as you can still win a championship in your league, or Phillip Rivers, if you have sort of quarterbacks 6 through 11? Do you feel good enough going to war each week?
Yes, and in fact, if you don't get quarterbacks 1 through 4, however you define them, maybe 5,
right,
I don't mind getting quarterback number 10. So let everybody else take the other quarterbacks, wait till 10. Not only that, but most people won't pick their second quarterback until very late, because I think quarterbacks 9, 10, 11, and 12 are not that bad. I mean, they're going to be, what, Phillip Rivers and maybe RG3, maybe Kaepernick, Luck. I mean, these are all very good quarterbacks, and if you don't get a Breeze Manning type of quarterback, then stock up on other positions. So you want to get yourself a dominant running back. You want to get yourself a dominant wide receiver, and I think with the 10th best quarterback, you can still win a championship. So to me, it's that position dominance, especially
right
in the first 5 or 6 rounds of the draft.
Right, so I was going to ask you, if you're saying wait a little bit, right, like if you miss out on, you know, guys, you know, grab them early, first, late, early, you know, late first, early second, strategically, I know for me, I would advise somebody, like, you could get possibly Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Stafford, Andy Dalton, maybe you could even get them in round, maybe even a Matt Ryan in round 6 or 7. So that means your first 4 or 5 picks, you could go ahead and knock out either the best tight end, definitely get 2 running backs and 2 receivers. So if your 5th or 6th pick is your quarterback, that's a good balance, because, look, you could get a great guy plus have, you know, let's say Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore are running backs. You could get a Jordy Nelson and – you know, maybe Dez Bryant or Jordy Nelson and, you know, Reggie Wayne as your receivers, get a Jimmy Graham or, you know, get a decent tight end, Vernon Davis, and then go ahead and get you Stafford or Andy Dalton, and that way you've got balance. Do you believe in the strategy of getting 2 good running backs first 2 picks, just because that position has less depth than any of the other positions and it also has more injuries?
So the injuries are something that you can't predict. The only thing I think you can do with injuries is try to get people that are, quote-unquote, not so injury-prone, but that's not an insurance policy.
Right, that's hard to predict in fantasy.
The problem with me in running backs is I used to go get 2 running backs in the top 5 picks, but that second running back is – I mean, they're doing so much running back by committee these days that
right.
I don't know that I think I'm changing my philosophy. First of all, I'm giving out all my philosophy. So if I lose, it's because of you.
Right, but this is what the fans want, and this is what we got to get. Listen, we've both won multiple money league championships, and we've won free league championships. So we got to, you know, we're experts. We're Ray and Tate today. We got to give them some cookies, you know what I mean? So
but
let me ask you, it's funny that you say that, right? Because so to me, I'm thinking because there's running backs by committee, it's more prominent or more important that I grab my 2 running backs early, because I want to get guys that are going to carry the rock, and there's not that many of them, right?
Yeah.
So like today you hear the news, and we hope David Wilson is okay with his neck. But we know that the right now the Giants, they're probably going to run heavy with Rashard Jennings and a little bit more Ben McAdoo West Coast offense, right? So the controlled passing, some, you know, screen passes. So even with the rookie Andre Williams, let's just say Rashard Jennings will get, let's say, maybe 18 to 25 carries a game. So that's somebody that you're like, okay, he could be a 1 or a 2 back. Do you feel like, okay, I've got to get these guys so I'm not caught up with a Patriots running back who shares the ball so much, or even, I don't know, Giovanni Bernard, who might share with the law firm and Jeremy Hill? What are your thoughts on that?
See, I take the other side of that. I think there's going to be 30, 40 running backs that are going to be fantasy worthy.
Productive? Okay.
Yeah, fantasy productive. Yeah. So there's going to be 10, 12 of them that are clearly studs, and the rest. And not only that, but it's so unpredictable with running backs because the league has gone away from running backs. So the one hedge that you might have, especially in a PPR league, is a running back that catches balls, because at least you can catch balls. The problem with a running back, if you're only getting running yards, even if a running back goes for 30, he's a backup runner, and he goes for 30 yards, 40 yards. It's in football terms, for a backup runner, let's say on 10 carries, 8, 10 carries, in real football terms, is not bad. That's not doing you any good. Unless he scores a touchdown, he's just going to get 3 or 4 points. That's nothing. So to me, stock up, wait on that second running back till later in the round, till you've gotten your studs, because you know your wide receivers are going to deliver. So I think there's going to be 30, 35 running backs, so you can wait on that second running back. Get the first one early, but you can wait on the second one.
Well, let's give them a couple of sleepers. I think just at the running back position, we sort of mentioned some quarterbacks, and we can get in depth in that some more. But with the running backs, obviously we mentioned AP, Jamaal Charles, Shady McCoy, but I think that there's other guys besides those top three or four. You know, maybe Arian Foster has a bounce back year, has more carries without a Ben Tate. Maybe Ben Tate at Cleveland is a decent back to look for. I would tell people I like Alfred Morris, and he might get some more screen passes this year. Reggie Bush, you know, obviously Alfred Morris with the Redskins, Reggie Bush with Detroit, he seems to be productive. Giovanni Bernard with Cincinnati will, you know, split carries, but he'll get something. What do you think about a Doug Martin? How would you look at him, and would you want him knowing coming off the injury, but then the Buccaneers have found Rainey and James and might do a three-back system? What would you pick
him? I'm a little worried specifically about Doug Martin, but I like your guy, Le'Veon Bell. Here's my thing. More than any other year that I can remember, there are so many ex-Pro Bowlers that are on their bounce-back years, potentially, right? So in that 10 to 20 range for running backs, think about this. You've got Marshawn Lynch, who may hold out. So if he's on the field, he's great, but he may hold out. You've got Arian Foster coming back off a terrible Houston Texans season when they lost 14 in a row, but Ben Tate's not there, so he'll get more carries. Ray Rice off the two-game suspension. You've got Maurice Jones-Drew, who was a stud for 4 or 5 years, our boy from UCLA. And then you've got even a guy like Trent Richardson, who was a top-four pick, and then we thought he was the man, had a good rookie year in Cleveland, and then got summarily traded the next year for a number one pick. So these are five guys that potentially could be Pro Bowlers, but are coming out and probably going to be drafted in that 10 to 20 range. So a lot of them are on bounce back. You know, do they have much left in the tank in MJD's case? How does Ray Rice recover from being out two games? And you know, the fan sentiment, and maybe fans will turn against him a little bit. Arian Foster was the number one overall pick in most people's eyes 2 years ago. So a lot of these running backs, more than any other position, these running backs have huge question marks, and these are proven veterans.
Right. I think it's a great point, and you could throw in with Maurice Jones-Drew, his running mate in Oakland, Darren McFadden, and the news out today that the Raiders, who you would think could possibly bounce back to L.A., might be looking at moving to San Antonio because they can't get a stadium in Oakland. That would be fascinating. Football in San Antonio, Ray. Wow. that could blow things up or whatever. So you mentioned Le'Veon Bell. And before we leave running backs, two guys I want to ask you about this year. I guess Noshon Moreno moving on to the Dolphins, and he's a little banged up already, so we don't know what happens there. I think the Dolphins' offensive line's got to get solidified before you take him or Lamar Miller or whatever. But your guy, how about them Cowboys, DeMarco Murray? You got to believe he's going to get more carries this year. Where would you rank him? And then also for the Broncos Nation and Broncos fans, and we definitely have some on our show, what do you think about Monte Ball taking over? Because actually I haven't Let me just say, I have an email here. This is from Chris from Fort Lauderdale. So he's from Florida.
Is that
he's
Chris
a Bronco
with a C?
Fan.
Chris
nah,
with a
this
C
is,
or
this
Chris
is,
with
yeah,
a K?
This is, I think it's a guy. It's C-H. Chris with a C-H. But he's actually asking, can Monte Ball be a first-round pick this year, running back for the Broncos? So that's actually a good question, and we're talking about him. So thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris, representing Florida. Monte Ball can have himself a ball if his asses are in order. So,
shout out to Brand Newbie.
So, Monte, anybody in that Denver offense, starting from Knowshon Moreno to Monte Ball, if you're healthy and you don't fumble, you're going to have a nice, nice year. Peyton Manning, if he's healthy, will throw for 5,000 yards, which means that just offsetting the pass, you're going to have the middle of the field wide open, and Julius Thomas is going to stretch the middle of the field. So any running back in that offense is going to score 10 to 14 touchdowns and is going to run for 1,000 to 1,400 yards. So, yes, Monte Ball, it's his to lose, right? It's his opportunity to fumble, if you will. So he'll be fine. He'll be great. So, I don't know if I pick him in the first round, but certainly he'll be one of the top, I don't know, six or seven running backs taken just because of that. Again, it's an offense system kind of play, right? If you put him in another system, I don't think he'd be that productive or as productive, I should say. Now, in terms of DeMarco Murray, I think the Cowboys, it seems like they learned the lesson and then they misremember, like our boy Andy Pettit used to say.
Yeah.
Because
he's so good, they got to give him the rock, right?
So with him, it's just a matter of carries and commitment to the run. And I think that Dallas is going to finally do it just because even if it's just to protect Romo, and even though Dez Bryant and Jason Witten are probably their two best assets to move the ball down the field, I got to think to protect Romo.
And to protect that defense, Ray. Don't forget, no Sean Lee. And you lose DeMarcus Ware. You got a bunch of young guys on that defense, so they might be faster, but you got to run the ball to make it easier for them defensively.
No, I agree. I agree. So I think Dallas will finally learn their lesson and commit to the run, so that bodes well for DeMarco Murray in fantasy.
So looking at, you mentioned his name, so let's look at tight ends real quick. Julius Thomas. So if Jimmy Graham and Gronk are in a healthy Gronk are 1 and 2, and you could go by preference either or, where do you put 3, 4, and 5? Has Julius Thomas cracked that? Is he past the gates now? Is he up there with Vernon Davis? And who else do you throw in there? Jordan Cameron, maybe a Kyle Rudolph with North Turner. Who would you put 3, 4, 5 in that range? 6 maybe at the tight end position.
Yeah, I like all those guys you said. You can choose whatever order. I personally like Julius Thomas the best just because he's the youngest and he's the healthiest. I like Jordan Cameron. I like Vernon Davis, although he's got a little baggage from this offseason, the contract and he's putting himself on the stock market and all that. I think Antonio Gates' best days are behind him. He only had 4 touchdowns last year, but he will catch balls through the middle of the field. One of the studs, I think, is Keenan Allen on that team. I think he becomes star playmaker on that team, even ahead of, Ryan Mathis and Antonio Gates.
Right, a receiver. And they also have that other tight end, Green. I like the kid Green. He's might be a stud at tight end this year, too. So, yeah.
I like, I like in the tight end to keep your eye out on. Kyle Rudolph, I've been praising him for a while now, but I think that finally this is his year to break out. He got that contract, so – He's under North Turner's system. Think about Jay Novacek. Think about all the guys that Norv has coached.
Then Antonio Gates.
Tight ends, Antonio Gates, exactly. And I really like this kid, Jordan Reed, another young stud.
With RG3 in D.C.,
With RG3, again, keep your quarterback healthy. Dump off to the running back and the tight end. So RG3, they want to keep him upright. He's going to become best friends real quick with Jordan Reed. So I like those two as kind of mid-level tight ends.
So in terms of some of these young guys that might turn the corner this year, and at the tight end position, do you still like the veteran Witten? But then what do you think about Cincinnati's young guy and also the Eagles with Zach Ertz. I think he could have a breakout year. And what do you think also about another veteran, Owen Daniels, going to the Ravens, talking about some of these free agent moves?
The O.D. So Owen Daniels, solid. I don't have any problems with drafting him, especially if you know, you're looking at his him being your number two tight end.
Yeah.
You know, I think the little overrated is Greg Olsen. I don't like him. He, you know, he's going in a lot of drafts as the top six or seven. I think his best days are
behind.
But
he'll get a lot of balls. I mean, they have no receivers. He's going to throw to what, Calvin Benjamin and Crotchery all day and Avant?
He'll be double
Olsen's
going to
get a lot of attempts, targets, as they say.
Yeah, he'll get a lot of targets. Your boy Zach Ertz, you know, Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
I like that kid Charles Clay in Miami. You know, he's done some things. I think that the one guy that I would really look out for is potentially to leap from the, you know, being a top 10 to doing even better is a Dennis Pitta. Another guy that, especially if Ray Rice isn't there for the first two games, I don't think Torrey Smith is a true number one receiver.
Right.
So
you. But Steve Smith
yourself,
will help Pitta out,
right,
because it's another
right,
target.
And then you got to ask yourself, yeah, how much does Steve Smith have left in the tank? And it seems like Flacco and Pitta, when they're together, have a little bit of chemistry going. So this guy, I'm waiting for him to take the step to the next level. I like Dennis Pitta as an upside surprise.
Okay, I got two guys for you. Let's go back to the gunslingers, and we'll take it to the receivers because the fans love receivers and fantasy. Do you touch, as a starter or backup, just do you even touch them, Jay Cutler and your Tony Romo?
Look,
who in some mock drafts are both going in the seventh and eighth round, I've seen.
Right. It's hard not to touch them. Because for Jay Cutler, look at the arm on him, but more importantly, look at the tools he has around him. I mean, they're all
Forte,
big.
Who we haven't mentioned, Matt
and
Forte's
Forte, right? And Forte, especially in PPR leagues, he'll be a top five running back. So you've got a great pass-catching running back in Forte. You have three absolute monsters at 6'3 or above in Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Martellus Bennett. So he has just got tools and tools and tools. He'll throw a lot of interceptions, but remember, he's kind of on a, you know, he's still got a chip on his shoulder because he never believes that Chicago has fully embraced him. So I think Cutler and Romo are right around the same type of guy, you know.
And they both need to win. Wouldn't you say that they both, it's time for them to, good quarterbacks make their teams and they will their teams to make the playoffs and win. And I think it's time for both of them. Romo, even though it's stacked against him, right, with the bad defense and yada, yada, yada. But I think it's time for him and Cutler to, you know what, go win a couple of games instead of losing a couple of games and go get that sixth spot in the wild card in the playoffs. I think it's you got to put the gauntlet down on those guys.
I think so, too. My fear with Romo, though, from a stats perspective, is that Dallas might be more balanced this year than in years past. So if I had to choose one of the two, I'd probably go with Cutler just because of his tools. He's healthier, and Chicago might rely on him more.
Okay, wait. Before we get to these receivers, I got another question. I got Jessica from Salt Lake City in Utah. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Okay, is she trying to get the Raiders
in
Utah?
She asked.
Is she trying to get the Raiders in Utah?
Yo, maybe get the Raiders to go to Utah. I don't know, but let me ask you, this is what Jessica's saying. How early or how late or when should I draft my defense? Now, you and I have different philosophies. I'll shoot it this first, and then you break it down too. I would say it depends on the defense you want, right? If you know you want the Seahawks or the Niners, you might have to do it a little bit earlier, and that's sort of like maybe around 7 or 8, you know, which some people might say is too early. If you go like 15, 16, 17 rounds, whatever, I would say there. If you just want a good, solid defense, and maybe this year it's the Eagles or the Texans, you could wait till later. I like to draft two defenses because I don't like to have to cut somebody for the bye week. So I like to have two defenses, and sometimes I like to play matchups with my defenses. So if I wanted the Niners, I might have to take them early, or the Seahawks maybe 6 or 7 or 8. And then if I wanted the Steelers or the Eagles or Texans, I might wait to take them down at 14 or 15 or when they're available. But I think when you're doing that, Jessica and everybody listening, look at schedules, look at bye weeks, and also look at the playoffs. Look at week 13, the last week of the season, 14 and 15 matchups to who they're playing, and look at their division. So this year, the NFC West is playing the AFC West. That's pretty difficult, your own division, and then you got to go up against the Broncos and Phillip Rivers. So you might be like, wow, the Niners, they got a good defense, but their secondary is not so great, and they got to play a lot of high-scoring teams. So maybe I don't draft the Niners defense this year. So that's sort of my look at it, just to give you a little insight, Jessica. So, you know, it just depends on what you want, but don't draft them too early.
All right. Thanks for that email, Jessica. Let me take a little bit of a different view. Tay's got skills, but he doesn't have my skills. So when it comes to defense, I'm actually a fan of having one defense and then just rotating the other defenses through the bye weeks and through injuries and maybe a matchup or two. So the problem, if you want Seattle or San Francisco, like Tay said, you're going to have to get them early because inevitably somebody's going to take them. I mean, my philosophy is to take the defense towards the end. So if you're in a 16 round, you know, looking at 12, 13, because there's not that much difference once you get out of the top three or four. There's not that much difference over a 16-game schedule or, you know, 13 before you make the playoffs. So I would say, like Tay said, go get them early if you want San Francisco or Seattle or a top three defense. But if not, then wait. Wait till double-digit rounds and then just get the best defense on the board, you know, in rounds 12, 13, 14, something like that, and then worry about the second defense during the bye week. So Ray and Tay have a different philosophy on that. But thanks for the email, though. Love it. Love female viewers. Love it. Female listeners, female writers.
No, definitely. We got to get the women calling. That's what we got to get. I mean, we've had some women call us, but we got to get some more. So let's really get into these receivers. As we're, you know, the clock's winding down and stuff. So if the whole world is like Megatron's the best receiver on earth, so if he's number one, how do you, for fantasy football purposes, look at 2 through 5 in terms of AJ Green, Dez Bryant, you know, maybe Fitzgerald, Brandon Marshall. Yeah, so how do you, you know, Vincent Jackson, who's sort of your 2 through 5, and how would you look at, you know, drafting them?
So I love A.J. Green. I think he's the package. He's the real deal. He's got a quarterback that's good enough.
Is he 2 ahead of Demaryius? Do you see him as 2 ahead of Demaryius Thomas? Just because Peyton Manning's got to spread it out more?
I do, only because, and I could be wrong, and last year would have been wrong, but I think Peyton has so many weapons that even if Peyton throws for 5,000, I got to believe that Thomas Julius is going to have 1,000 of that. And, you know, Demaryius is going to have 1,000 of that.
And Emmanuel Sanders and Wes
Welker. Emmanuel Sanders is going to have 1,000 of that, and Wes Welker is going to have 1,000 of that. So the question, big question is, does Demaryius Thomas catch, you know, 15 touchdowns? And then if he does, then he's number 2, right? But I think that A.J. Green is next, and then I like Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, and Brandon Marshall about the same. I got to like Julio Jones. I got to put him back in there on a bounce-back season when he's healthy.
Do you get nervous about his health, though?
I do. Here's a guy that broke his leg before the draft, had injury problems at Alabama. He's having injury problems in the pros, so yeah, I'm worried about him. But when he's right, he is, you know, physically unstoppable. He's got the speed, the size, the hands. He's the real deal. And you know that Matt Ryan likes to put it up, and he plays in perfect conditions, right? Because he's playing 8 games at home. He's playing in the NFC South, so you know, he goes up against a good defense in Carolina, but ultimately he's playing his games indoors, in domes. I like Julio Jones.
Right. And then what do you think about, I guess, sort of after the five? I mean, obviously you've got a Jordy Nelson, an Alshon Jeffrey, a Fitzgerald, now that he's the second year with Palmer, but maybe a healthy Percy Harvin.
Don't forget my man Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, Pierre Garçon, Andre Johnson. I think the receiver position is so loaded. Victor Cruz, I think
Fitzgerald.
You can really.
Let me ask you. You're out there in Arizona going to camp with the Cardinals. Where does Fitzgerald fit in?
I think Michael Floyd is going to have an Alshon Jeffrey year. So I think he's going to be, up there with Alshon Jeffrey and Roddy White as, great number two receivers. I think Michael Floyd from Notre Dame in his third season is going to step up. But I think that also helps Fitzgerald, right? They lose Andre Roberts to the Redskins, so that makes the Redskins so deep with three receivers, also having Deshaun and Pierre. But I believe Fitzgerald, again, is a security blanket, will have a great year. He's such a possession receiver, but he also gets touchdowns, and he's clutch, great hands. So to me, I don't necessarily always draft Fitzgerald, but I surely wouldn't mind having him, and I could take him in the second or third round. But I got to tell you, I really do like this year a Michael Floyd, some of these second wide receivers. Where your boy Roddy White got the new contract, by the way. We got to mention that. I like a Wes Welker and a Pierre Garçon, because everybody's going to look at DeSean Jackson. And remember, Pierre Garçon and my guy, Antonio Brown from the Steelers, very slept on. Those two guys are just, lunch pail. They come every day to work, and they're going to catch balls. Are you afraid to draft a Percy Harvin? That's what I want to know.
Would you draft Percy Harvin? With the injury. He's always been injured, and then he has those headaches. So, yeah, I'm a little worried. Hold on. We have a caller real quick.
Okay.
Let's pass the caller in. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Well, how you guys doing today?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, I wanted to ask you guys a question on a fantasy advice question. If you can give me an advice for something I was gonna ask you guys.
All right, well, say your name and where you're calling from.
Tyler from New York.
Yeah, it's our buddy Tyler,
what's
man.
Up?
I know the voice.
Yeah.
What's up, Tyler?
Go ahead. Well, I would have met everybody else though.
Yeah, no, definitely.
All right, Tyler, shoot. What do you got?
All right, so which receiver would you rather have? Would you rather have a Randall Cobb, or would you rather have a Mike Wallace?
Oh wow, good question. Shoot us off, Tay. What do you got?
This season, I got to tell you, I'm gonna go with Randall Cobb. Aaron Rodgers is healthy, ripping, and ready to go. And Cobb is sort of like a 1-1A with him and Jordy Nelson. And with not having Jermichael Finley, I got to believe Cobb, and not having James Jones, Cobb is going to get a lot of balls. My question about Mike Wallace, and I'm a Steeler fan, die hard, and I'm glad we didn't overpay for him. Even though with Tannehill improving potentially in that offensive line, Mike Wallace has Hartline as a number two. Clay's getting better. But Mike Wallace cannot run the whole tree route. He's pretty much bomb or post or slant, and his hands on a slant, sometimes he drops it. So go with Cobb all day, every day.
I totally agree with that. And by the way, you're a big Steelers fan. I am as well, Steeler Nation.
Oh, there you go. All right, see, I knew you were a good caller.
Slow that down.
Here we go.
Steelers and Knicks, baby.
Hey, Tyler, tell Ray, because he's a big Cowboy fan, so basically we're over him 2-1 in Super Bowl history.
Yep.
But let him know, not only is Le'Veon Bell going to be a beast, but we got the sleeper. We're getting ready to talk about rookies and sleepers, and our boy from Clemson, Martavius Bryant, is
going
to
look good.
Oh, yes. He's going to be a sleeper with the Steelers, and guess what? Lance Moore is going to be a great receiver for Big Ben. I'm excited. Steelers, I say right now, 10-6, and we make the playoffs.
I think we can win the AFC North, to be honest.
Ooh, okay. Over the Bengals. Listen.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, man. I'm not mad at you. Great call, Tyler, man. Keep listening, and we'll talk to you Monday. We'll probably be back regular time.
All right, cool, man.
Monday.
I'll call in then. Thank you, guys.
All right,
thanks
a lot, man.
Appreciate it.
Great question. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. So, Ray, he led us right into it, and good to know he's a Steeler fan, because we got Mike from Pittsburgh, but he's a Cowboy Celtic fan.
Yes,
we've got some regulars, but give me two or three rookies, and then we'll do sleepers. Give me two or three rookies that you're willing to roll the dice on and draft. You know, maybe it's a Manziel. If you think he might get the starting job week five, you take him as a backup. You know, who are the rookies? Sammy Watkins, would you draft him as a third or fourth receiver?
Yes.
Bring it down.
I love Sammy Watkins because in Buffalo, this is a big year for E.J. Manuel. This is a big year for Buffalo in the turnaround. And I'm not sure how they do that on offense, if not for your boy having a great year, Sammy Watkins. I mean, Sammy Watkins, to me, is Julio Jones. I mean, he's that kind of physical specimen who has great hands. Unbelievable. So that to me, he's by far and away number one. In terms of other rookies, I don't love. I'm a little scared of this rookie class, right? Who do you have?
Do you like Bishop with the Titans?
He might because they might do a little rotation. So who's going to run the ball in Tennessee? Yeah, Sean Green has always been there, but he's never been explosive. Are you looking at Trey Mason? Is he going to get some love?
I love Trey.
Your boy Plug.
Plug
you know,
four.
Plug kid.
Plug four,
right?
DJ Michio's son, yeah. How about a Calvin Benjamin? He could potentially be the number one in Carolina. I like him as a receiver, Ray, as a rookie. And you got to like the rookie with the Giants. Odell Beckham.
So if Odell Beckham can get, you know, 80% of what Hakeem Nicks was getting thrown to him, that's pretty good. Now, what about your boy Randall, though? I mean,
Reuben Randall will be the number two. I think Beckham will be in the slot, and he'll be great. Reuben Randall was actually really productive last season, second half of the season for the Giants. I had him on my fantasy team, had a couple of big weeks for me. I think when you look at rookies, Watkins, Beckham, Sankey, you know, maybe Trey Mason, you know, backing up Zach Stacy, you know, obviously the other receiver I just mentioned. I like the sleeper on the Steelers, Martavis Bryant. You know who I like, though, from Seattle? And by the way, they just signed two veterans, Eric Winston and Terrell Thomas at cornerback and offensive line. So the Seahawks keep on moving and improving that program. But I like Paul Richardson, the wide receiver at Seattle, and Jordan Matthews, the wide receiver from Vanderbilt at the Eagles. Two other rookies to look for.
That's great. That's great. Keep your eye out. So, look, I think we have to wrap up fantasy football, but we'll keep talking about it. The season doesn't start till, what is that, September 4th. So
right.
We've got some time.
Yeah, we just want to help you out with your drafts. And, yeah, we'll give you some more because most people draft around after the 25th of August on, you know, after that last preseason game. So we got the Hall of Fame this weekend, Ray, coming up. The Baseball Hall of Fame was last weekend. Some good speeches from Frank Thomas about not taking shortcuts and Joe Torre. Any thoughts on that? And what speeches are you looking forward to on Saturday, with the NFL guys? You want to see Ray Guy, the first punter, getting in the Hall of Fame, baby?
You know, and anytime you mention Ray Guy, you have to mention Al Davis, because Al Davis had the guts to draft a punter in the first round, which was outrageous back then. People laughed at him, and Ray Guy is a deserving Hall of Famer. So, to me, kudos to him and kudos to Al Davis. You know, we get on Al Davis, especially at the end of his career, for some of his decisions and coaching and the coaching carousel, but good for him and good for Ray Guy. The Baseball Hall of Fame was interesting. I thought the whole notion of not taking any shortcuts, that was a stab at the steroid era and people trying to distance themselves from the steroid era.
Yeah.
So I like the baseball. There was no, you know, heart-wrenching stories. I guess Joe Torre was our guy. He almost made it as a player, but obviously as a manager put him over the top. He forgot a couple people. Yeah. He got nervous in his speech. He got to talk about George Steinbrenner and a couple other Yankees that helped him along the way. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame on Monday,
on Friday.
The NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's on Friday. So let me ask you real quick, though, with baseball, actually basketball, looks like the Sterling sale might finally go through. We got a couple of guys dropping out of the FIBA World Cup basketball, and they invited Paul Millsap. Derrick Rose is practicing. He looks good. Mo Williams signs with the Timberwolves.
Derrick Rose looks great.
And the Lakers have a coach, Ray. 4 years, $17 million. Congratulations, LA Nation. Byron Scott's your head coach, finally.
That's crazy. And it's been diagnosed that Blake Griffin has a back fracture. So we hope it's only a small, small fracture, and it heals up pretty easily, pretty well. I don't know what to tell you about this whole Donald Sterling thing. I just want it to go away.
I think it's almost over.
Yeah, LeBron said he's choosing number 23 again. So
that's
good
right.
For him. Whatever mm-hmm. he likes, right?
It's sort of nice, I guess, for the fans, the ones that didn't burn their jerseys. They still got it. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking to see, do the Rays say, you know what, we're going to keep Price and pay him, or does somebody trade for him? And does Cliff Lee get traded? Yankees have been playing good. Some teams are hot. The Dodgers put it on the Giants this past weekend. Baseball's heating up. We'll give you some more baseball on Friday. So there's a lot going on, man.
Yeah, a lot going on. We'll keep talking about baseball as we start getting to the playoff run. We got Big Poppy going at it, throwing his bat, Poppy being Poppy. But, we got to give baseball a little love. Also, we got to talk about Jeter. Jeter just passed Carl Yastrzemski.
Yes.
And he's 10 hits away from moving up to number 6 overall in Major League Baseball history in hits.
Right,
so
and he won't be able to go any higher than that this year. So
not this year.
But that's amazing. I mean, can you imagine that?
The sixth most hits comes from the number 6 overall pick from the New York Yankees in, what was that, 1991?
Yeah.
So good.
That's a great story.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So at the end of this week, we'll have a show on Friday. We'll go back to our normal time on Monday as well. So last parting words, fantasy football, go sign up, right? If you're not in a league, it's a lot of fun.
Go join a public league.
Go to ESPN. You don't have to pay money. It's free. Go to ESPN. Go to Yahoo. Go to NFL.com. If you want to get your feet wet, just jump in a public league. Do it for free. Have fun, and then next year, be the commissioner of your own league.
Yeah, no, definitely. Sign up or sign up on ESPN. If you want to do some defense and be a tough, tough man, join a league that Tay started up, Both Sides of the Ball, Password Sports Radio. You really want to get in it and play some defensive players, you come and handle it. Let's go. Ah. So,
tell
thanks
them
everybody fire. Listening. I get hyped up. I like to do about 6 leagues. I used to do more, but I got too many kids, so I only do 6 leagues, 3 money leagues, and I hate it when this ends. So, great show. Let's end with some fab beats, and like Ray said, we'll be back Friday, man. And thanks for our listeners, Urban Daily and everybody, and thanks for talking sports with friends, man.